Dungeons & Drimbus is rated R for rude language, rough violence, and raunchy humor.
We open on an absolutely jacked man working on his bike. Fluffy, what are you up to this morning?
I'm just working on my bike here, repairing it. One of the mufflers was a little, you know, kind of coming off, so I decided to put it back on. Might take it out for a spin later, I don't know.
So you run a shop out of your house, yeah?
That's right here in my garage. Business, it's actually been doing pretty well, which I find a little irritating. I'd prefer it to be a little slower so I have to deal with less people. But, you know, I guess they need their bikes repaired and their vehicles, so what am I going to do? Say no? Of course not. I'll work with their machines as long as I don't have to work with them.
Well, I hate to inform you, but you hear the sound of money as at your door at this very moment you hear a...
Oh, God. What?
Yes, it's Fluffy's the bike shop.
Yeah, you're talking to Fluffy. What could I do for you?
I got a bike that needs fixing. Do you, what are prices like here?
What do you got?
I got caps, if you want them.
How many?
It's cosmetic issue more than anything, so 200 caps.
Deal. Bring your bike to the back for me.
Cool. Business been good lately?
It's been fine, yeah, I suppose.
Sweet. How are you holding up with the whole tax thing?
Sir, listen, I'm here to take your bike, repair it, and move you on your way. The less questions, the better, all right?
All right, and as he turns around, you're still in the doorway of your house. As he turns around, you see this massive truck. You don't see a bike anywhere. And he walks up to the truck and bangs on the door, and he says, "All right, Hive. This is the place."
What's going on here?
We cut to the inside of this truck's cabin as we see Hive begin to walk out. Slender man in a gas mask as he steps out of the truck. Hive, you greet your associate, Bit, who you have just led to Fluffy's bike shop.
I'm going to pull out my shotgun. Not going to aim it at anyone, but I'm just going to hold it in my arms. I'm going to say, "What the hell is he doing here?"
You're going to need a lot more than that to get rid of us, buddy.
I doubt it.
Hive, you work for the friendly neighborhood warlord, Mad Dog. Mad Dog is known for taking a cut of any business in the area.
Okay.
50%, to be precise. And word has gotten around that someone has been running an illegal business out of their garage and not paying their taxes.
So what's that, Fluffy? What you got back there?
This is my house. What do you want?
You know the rules now. It's Tuesday. It's collection day. And it looks like you've got a little business back there. Am I right?
I'm going to give you 10 seconds to get off my property and go back wherever you crawled out of. And I aim my shotgun at him.
Are you attempting to intimidate him?
Yes.
So why don't you go ahead and give me a manipulation roll? So give me a roll plus hot.
11.
Wow. So on a 10 plus, you are very convincingly holding your shotgun up to Hive. Bit is off to the side, hand down to his revolver. This is so effective. If Hive goes along with you, he will mark experience. If Hive refuses, you get to erase one of the stat highlights, so reducing the possibility for progression. So, Hive, how do you respond?
Oh, Fluffy, you don't want to go down this path. We'll be back, and there will be more of us.
I'm walking with Bit back to the truck to leave back to base to get backup.
And so you begin to get in the truck and you see Bit pulls a revolver out from the holster, holds it in the left hand as he hops back into the truck as well. He has this like very, very scruffy, it's not even 5 o'clock shadow, it's like 8 o'clock shadow. And this like very grungy hair and these pale gray eyes. And as he hops in, he looks out at you through the window. He spits and the truck starts up and begins to take off. Fluffy, what is your next course of action?
I am going to get on my bike, and I'm going to start heading towards the fop bucket as fast as I can.
As the truck kind of clears and the dust begins to settle, we then see a chopper just out the other direction towards the fop bucket. Next, we cut to the juice. Juice, where are you? What are you up to today?
First of all, would we say that the clientele at the fop is like more upscale, or is it just like a dive?
You tell us, Ficon.
We have a very variable clientele, but I would say we mostly serve populations that look for something off the beaten track. We are not catering to, the masses. We are a very specified clientele.
So I'm probably like somewhere in the back of the fop, like running some information for somebody, like talking to people. Because usually the kind of people we're interested in, the kind of stuff that the fop represents, usually have a little bit more money, but have a little bit more eccentric tastes.
So we cut to one of the back rooms of the fop bucket, a sort of nightclub establishment of sorts. A little grungy inside, but rather nice considering the overall state of the world, yes. And we cut to the back room where we see the juice. A man in a long sleeve button-up shirt, sleeves rolled up. The tie is kind of mangled and dirty as he's working at a table. And Juice, you hear a commotion outside in the main room of the fop bucket.
Excuse me, I'll be right back. Like, peek my head out, see what's going on.
Cool, and as you enter the main floor of the fop bucket, it is early afternoon, so not necessarily prime business hours right now. And we see the maestro D, Vicon Swan. What were you up to right before this happened?
I was in my personal secretarial office going over the books, making sure that everything was balanced and that I had the payment ready because I know that Tuesday is collection day.
Okay, remind me what you're dressed like.
It's early afternoon, so I think I would be in a nice pair of culottes and a lovely frock coat with a lovely lace trim on the sleeves and a very full skirt to the coat in the back, so I have to kind of flick it up whenever I sit down.
Okay, and so we see Vicon Swan in this fancy getup kind of rush out of the office, having been doing the collections at the same time. There's a little bit of illicit business going on here, of course. Juice, it's not necessarily a big secret amongst your business associates that the 50% that you give up is not exactly quite 50%. But it is thanks to your, let's say, savvy bookkeeping that businesses such as the fop market can come to be because you have that extra capital to invest and resources to provide. However, at this moment, Juice, your business associate, and Vicon, the man who essentially fronted for the loan for the opening of this establishment, Fester, stumbles in the front door, absolutely beaten and bloody.
Mon Dieu, Fester! No, please. Vicon will run over to Fester and take him to a booth nearby. And like, Fester, what on earth happened? Are you all right?
You see him in the booth, and he has this already swollen purple eye, busted lips. His nose is off center, basically. And he's gasping for what?
I need a glass of water immediately.
And Antonio runs to the back from one of the jugs, right, in this radiated world. Water is actually quite a precious resource. You charge more for it than you charge for alcohol at this point. But he desperately pours out a glass and brings it, and you see Fester kind of reaches for it with both hands, trembling, and tries to down some of it. Some of it spills down his chin and onto his shirt.
I reach out my hand to help steady the glass as he brings it to his lips.
There we go. And he drinks and he goes,
Mad Dog, he knows.
What do you mean he knows?
He knows.
What are you talking about?
Juice. He knows about juice.
Juice? How could he have known about this?
I mean, everybody knows about the juice. I mean, I'm the juice. What does he know?
He knows that you owe him money, you dumb bastard.
Juice, you said that he would take care of this in the books, that there was not going to be a problem. If this
I
comes
did.
Back on
this
me...
This shouldn't be a problem. A bookkeeping is flawless. I don't even know how you find out.
Juice, what businesses have you invested in lately?
Somebody wanted to start like a hair care thing, so I invested in that.
Who runs the salon?
Courtney.
As he kind of gains his composure a little bit better, Fester who is like sprawled out on the seat, now begins to seat himself a little more upright, and he breathes deeply and he goes,
Court. They came to collect from court. She didn't have enough and she squealed. That bitch.
This is going to be a major problem if we do not take care of this very delicately.
He's gonna want to know about every business you've invested in.
And that includes me. God damn it.
The books are fine. We could just say that Courtney's lying or whatever. Just covering her own ass. I mean, like, Hive is a scary dude, isn't he?
I hope you can explain that away when they show up here.
Show up here? They're coming?
She told them everything. They know you're operate out of here. I'd start burning those books if I were you.
You know what? I think I need to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. And we can, like, run to where the books are.
Okay, and you run to the books as we cut back to Hive. Hive, you are in a truck arriving at this kind of big compound. It is likely some sort of old warehouse from the before times that has been expanded into almost this fort with fencing and industrial shipping containers that have been hollowed out and carved to make additional buildings within the compound and almost battlements on the fort. And you pull in as Bit puts the truck in park. And what are you doing?
I will go to whoever, if it has to be the warlord himself, then yeah, but whoever would be in charge of allowing me access to, I think, a few truck worth of men, like 3 trucks full of henchmen.
You enter one of these kind of makeshift buildings. It's been constructed almost like when you see a set for like a play half in construction, you can still kind of see all the supports. There's a lot of that and rough welding and then built atop of those hollowed out shipping containers. And you head up to what is essentially an office, and Grunt is up there, and Grunt is kind of your commanding officer here.
Yeah, what do you want?
All right, listen, mate. I've got some irritable clients.
All right.
And I'm having a bit of trouble, and basically, if we need to get work done, they need to take me more seriously. So I'm looking for about 3 trucks worth of men.
Okay, yeah. Who's the client?
It's Fluffy. He's not complying.
Who the fuck's Fluffy?
Fluffy, he started a nice little business in the back of his garage, and, well, he's not paying his dues.
You want 3 truckloads of men for 1 asshole?
Well, I've got other runs to make. I've heard
you got a gun, don't you? Shoot the bastard. The fuck's wrong with you?
I don't have a gun, actually. Funny enough.
What? Here, take one. Why the hell are you running around without a gun?
All right, what did he give me?
He gives you a revolver.
You got Bit with you, don't you?
All right, but I've got other runs to make, mate. I've
yeah, do your weird brain shit, asshole. Freak them out.
I can't do that against...
I can't spare 3 truckloads of men for 1 little bike shop.
Very well. All right. Let's get a few more men then. I need a posse, mate. I can't do it with just me and him.
All right, I can give you a...
And he puts on little, like, grandma reading glasses and starts flipping through, like, a ledger.
And he goes, no, all right, we got a... Yeah, I can give you Noel, and I can give you Rourke.
Noel and Rourke.
Yeah.
That'll do nicely. Arm them, please.
All right. Hey, if I'm sparing 2 men, we're gonna need more than 50%.
What do you need?
75, at least. Hell, take all of it if you can.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to scorched earth it either, you know? He needs to keep producing. Long-term investments.
Well, I do have to make a trip down to the fop bucket later. I can make up the expenses with that then.
And as you're saying this, you see a little woman who is like maybe 4 feet tall, very slender, in a little biker's vest, knocks on the hollow, like, tin walls. And Grunt goes,
hold up. Yeah!
And she walks in and, like, leans in and whispers into his ear. Goes,
okay, tell you what, I can give you Nolan Rourke, but you're gonna have to make a stop by the fop bucket as well. Gonna need you to expedite that one.
That's what I said, yeah.
Yeah, just don't fuck this one up, okay?
Okay. Well, cheers, mate. Thanks for all that.
All right, hey, Sammy, go get Nolan Rourke. Send him over to Hive over here.
And the little woman whispers back into his ear, pss, 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 and runs up.
All right, the fuck out of my office.
And I leave with a bit.
You do so. Meanwhile, we cut back to the fop bucket as we see Fluffy arriving on a chopper. Fluffy, what do you do?
I'm gonna burst through the front doors and I'm gonna shout, "Where's my favorite nightclub host at?"
Oh my goodness.
Arnold? Arnold Schwarzenegger? That's the sound I love to hear.
Fluffy, I cannot believe you. I was not expecting you until much later tonight. I thought you had work today.
Vic en soin, how you doing, gorgeous?
Oh, I'm doing well. I mean, I'm doing as good as I can or as bad as I can, depending on who it is. Ow.
That's what I like to hear. Now, listen, the reason I came a bit early today is I've got a bit of a situation back at my place.
And what kind of a situation?
Mad Dog and his favorite little stick bug, the Hive, is they finally came knocking looking to collect from me. I've tried to avoid them for a while, but it looks like they finally tracked me down in the little business I've been running. So I was wondering if you could spare maybe a few of your best people to come help me out and defend my property.
Now, Fluffy, you know how much I love you, and you are absolutely my favorite person in the world. But unfortunately, we are having a bit of a situation of ourselves with the collection day today.
What happened?
Oh, mon cher, I cannot, how you say, the initial investment that was placed in here by the juice was not exactly on the books. So
that
it looks like
idiot.
There's going to... I just take what I can and make something pleasurable for everyone involved. But, you know, it is a very complicated situation at this point in time. Unfortunately, I just cannot spare any of the muscle or protection that I normally perhaps would be able to give you. But in the meantime, did you want me to arrange for anyone to meet with you, perhaps, this fine afternoon?
That won't be necessary. Listen, Vicon, first of all, if that juice is giving you any troubles, just call me up. I will be more than happy to teach him a lesson, all right?
Oh, no, mon cher. It is, he has been nothing but wonderful. It is a small mistake. And you know what? I have been meaning to save to perhaps look into some expansion of the business, but I think I should perhaps have enough of that initial. I have to check with him to see exactly how much we are supposed to be owing in addition to what we normally owe, but I think that perhaps we can make it work. I'm just, oh goodness me.
Listen, I understand you're stressed by what's going on here, but it looks like we could help each other out of this situation. We're both in a similar problem here. Why don't we go back over to my place with a few of your best fighters, and we'll deal with this problem all together. Get rid of the Hive, get rid of Mad Dog, just put an end to it all.
Oh, Fluffy, you know, I admire your spirit and your tenacity, but we are not fighters here. We are lovers. We are performers. We are artists. While I appreciate you thinking of us when you are in trouble and you will always have a special place in my heart, I just do not think that we are in a position to help you in that kind of a way, my friend. And I think that there are other ways that we can perhaps assist you out of this situation. You know, Mad Dog has every once in a while been known to take alternative payments for certain things, so I am hoping that I might be able to work something out. And then you see Vicon just kind of adjust the clothes that he's wearing and dust himself off to make himself look even more presentable than he already did.
There's a shiver that runs down my whole body.
Roll plus hot.
That would be an 11 for hot.
Fluffy, there is something irresistible going on directly in front of you.
Oh, yes.
You're having a hard time. I'm going to say, because Swan,
oui.
Your getup is so attractive that I will give you plus one forward for the next time you attempt some sort of seduction roll of sorts. As this is happening, we cut to the back office where the juice is desperately looking through the books, and we see Fester slowly walking his way towards the back. Juice, what are you up to?
I'm like papers flying, trying to like dig out the books and figure out anything that they could probably pick out, see that it was wrong. Because on paper, they should not be able to see how much money we actually made.
So roll plus sharp for me.
9.
Okay, that is a hit. So you have a number of questions you can ask. Your options are, where's my best escape route / way in / way past? Which enemy is most vulnerable to me? Which enemy is the biggest threat? What should I be on the lookout for? What's my enemy's true position? Who's in control here?
So I guess which enemy is most vulnerable to me?
I'll tell you this. You look through the books, and assuming that their record keeping is as good as yours, they have an exact figure at how much liquid funds are available to you based on the fact that you've been giving them 50%. So you know that from the investment in the nail salon, they can do the math and put it together that, yeah, he definitely didn't have this kind of capital if he was paying his taxes fairly. But you could potentially offer the business to them as a sort of payment, because the people you loan to are indebted to you, and you are now indebted to someone else. And so you can kind of just reclaim the whole asset and give it to them as a potential option. It may open you up to further investigation, but it may also hold them off for some time if it's a big enough asset. As this dawns on you, Fester appears in the doorway, wheezing.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking they're probably on us. I think maybe if I give them like a business or two, that'll probably hold them off. You know, a lot of this isn't even like money. It's favors that we've called in from other people to help give them like things and places to spot. So maybe we can play off that. And if they really need, like, we could just give them the hair salon or somewhere else. Maybe that'll hold them off for a bit.
If it's the best we can do, then sure.
I think that's our best option. It's either that or try to run, but I don't, you know how that works out.
Meanwhile, back at Fluffy's, we see a large industrial truck pull up.
I'm not there.
Hive, you step out of the seat. Bit steps out of the driver's seat. And so both of you are rather leaner. You're this very slender man. Bit is like average size, you know, good build, but still lean. And then out of the back of the truck, we see Null and Rourke come out. And Null is this man with this big, braided, bright orange hair that runs down his back and a really long goatee. And Rourke is this extremely muscular woman who, you know how people do the undercuts? Like, they shave the sides of their head?
Mm-hmm.
She does the opposite and shaves the top of her head into, like, a Danny DeVito, but then has very long hair that drops down to her waist. And you see both of them, all of you kind of walk up to the front door, and Null, the big, buff dude with the long goatee and the braided hair, begins banging on the door going, and you hear no response. Hive, what do you do?
I'm gonna speak with someone very special to me and see what they can tell me about the current situation.
Are you attempting to open your brain to the world's psychic maelstrom?
I am.
Okay, so tell me what this looks like. As we see the two buff people, they're like banging on the door, taking turns going, like, one does the fist, and then the other one does the fist. And you see Bit kind of looks at you going, ugh. Like, you've seen this routine before from the meatheads.
Open up, motherfucker!
Yeah, open up!
Bit is getting really annoyed, and he kind of gives you a glance, and he's like, oh,
he's doing the thing.
And tell me what this looks like.
Hive puts two fingers to his right temple, and he just starts vibrating very quickly and violently, attempting to make contact with Mother.
Roll plus weird.
Mother. Oh my god.
So that's a 10, I believe. It's 10.
On a 10 plus, the MC gives you good detail. So as you kind of begin vibrating, we see through your eyes, as even though your eyes are closed, you still see the world around you. But suddenly it's like, it's very grayscale with maybe just tints of blue and lots of visual static. As you kind of reach out, and then the detail of the world fades away, and you enter this like field of sensory junk almost. Things assaulting you. You can literally see the radiation from the nuclear wars that left the world in this shambled state. And you reach out and you see your mother. And Mother says,
yes, son.
Welcome back. How can I help you?
Sounds like another mother that I know. A nasty one.
Mom, is any traps I need to worry about before I go invading this little habitat?
Fluffy, are there traps?
Oh, yeah. All over.
Yes, there's a tripwire just past the door. Make sure your meathead friends don't blow it up. However, my son, I think it's imperative that you know he's not there.
Right, but is his money there?
Yes, it's beneath the bikes. There's a little trap door you can go into. It's all there.
And what's your safest way there, Mum?
Well, he booby-trapped the opening, but he forgot to booby-trap the actual garage.
That would be your mother. Thank you again.
Goodbye, son!
As the visual static, it's like TV static, right? It's very abstract. You kind of see your mother's face in it a little bit. You see, like, the waveforms of her voice as she talks to you. And then you kind of begin to zoom back out, and the static comes together to form what looks like the real world. And then it looks perfect with, you know, staticky, and you open your eyes and you're suddenly back in the real world. And Bit looks at you and goes, what'd you learn?
Stop banging on the door, one, my friend.
But I like banging on the doors! Open up, motherfucker!
If you wanted to bang on a door, love, you should try the garage, because that one ain't booby-trapped. And that's where the money is.
Oh. Okay.
And and you see both Noel and Rourke go up to the garage door, and they squat like they're about to do a deadlift, look at each other, and then in uniform motion, you see they activate that posterior chain. They squeeze the glutes as they lift that big garage door up and throw it, and it swings open. And you see a relatively empty garage.
Under the bikes, there's supposed to be a trap door. Does anybody see one?
Oh, right here.
And he pulls out this canvas, like, tarp that's meant to catch oil while you're working. And beneath it, you see a big hatch. And Bit lifts it open. And inside, you see a few loose bags with tons of bottle caps.
Rourke, no, take the money. And Bit, leave a little note, right? Thanks for your cooperation, and stick it on the front door.
He begins looking around and grabs a little sticky pad and writes,
thanks for your cooperation.
I'm assuming he spells it with a S-H-U-N for cooperation.
He writes T-H-X for U-R-Q-P-R-A-T-O-N.
Thanks for your cooperation.
And he sticks it on the door, and he looks very pleased, like a little kid putting his drawing on the fridge.
Hey, should we take the tools too?
Can I see if they look like booby trapped or anything?
I guess roll plus sharp.
Ooh, okay, 6.
As far as you can tell, they're fine.
Love, there's a lot of booby traps in the house. I don't want to risk it, and I think we've got plenty at base. We've got another stop to make as well.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
It's your favorite. The fop bucket.
Oh.
Oh, what were you going to say?
I thought it was going to be Weenie Hut Seniors.
If that goes well, love, we'll take you there too.
Okay.
And they begin lugging out these big, like, Santa Claus rucksacks of bottle caps in here. As they throw them in the back and then hop in and then spit. And the two of you hop up in the truck.
Hey everyone, it's Giancarlo Herrera, your DM here, with a few quick messages as usual. I hope you're enjoying Wasteland. This was our first real foray kind of outside of D&D. We played it using Powered by the Apocalypse's Apocalypse World. Links in the description if you want to check it out. We think it was a ton of fun, and we're really hoping to come back to it or other systems like it at some point in the future. So let us know what you think about it. Today's episode is again brought to you by our patrons. Thank you to Jerry Benetados, Queso Loco, John Mitchell, Kevin Dubrillet, Terrence Knox, Victoria Madrid, and Greta and Beignet. Thank you all so much for the support. If you're interested in supporting the show and becoming a patron, there has never been a better time to do so. Right now, you get access to the first 3 episodes of Season 3, Your Honor, which premieres next week. Additionally, we've started playing other non-D&D games like this one, and we are recording them as patron bonus content. So if you want to hear us having fun in more wacky games like that, or even exploring the D&D source material books, beginning with Lost Mines of Phandelver, we have a bunch of new series coming to our patrons. That said, I want to give you all one last sneak peek of Your Honor before it premieres. In this clip, the group is mid-investigation and attempting to talk to a rather uncooperative wizard. Enjoy.
I've not left my tower in many years.
Well, your tower must have a beautiful view of those farming fields. Did you happen to be looking out the window and see anything suspicious?
Wouldn't you like to know?
I certainly would. I said I certainly would. And
sucks to suck.
What are we sucking?
The knocker on the door blushes.
Oh, my good! What a crafty little spell you have with this knocker, my goodness. Do they come in a set, just like a nice set of knockers?
Ha! Knocker, hardly know her.
Oh, God.
Again, if you like that, please consider becoming a patron so you can get access to the first 3 episodes of Your Honor early, right now, along with our post-game discussions after the Drimbus, bonus content, and until the end of June 2021. If you sign up at the $20 or higher tier where you get exclusive merch, you will get a free Drimbus phone case, which is only for patrons and will not be available after June. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for your support. Let's get back to the show.
Meanwhile, everyone at the Fop Bucket, what's going on?
Vicomte, you know, we've wasted enough time here, you charming me and seducing me and all. They've probably already come and looted my whole place already, so I might as well stick it out here and try to guard your little nightclub and just fight them off when they get here. I might get that battle here whether you like it or not, because I'm taking my money back if they got a hold of that. Certainly anything else.
Wait, Filthy, you know, of course, you are always welcome to stay with us as long as you desire. But I would very much prefer if you do not start any fights. Perhaps we can come. Let us try to come to some other form of arrangement. I do not want my establishment getting any sort of reputation. At least, not that kind of reputation.
Fine. Then my only compromise here is have you and the juice distract them when they get here while I try to scope out and see if they took any of my shit.
That is fine by me, because you will be doing it independently outside, away from me, because I just do not want to. I love you, but I do not want to put any sort of risk. I have a lot of responsibilities to my performers here and the establishment in general. So
I understand. I'd hate to bring you trouble too. So just all I ask is you give a little distraction.
Mon cher, but of course. And I reach up and I just stroke his cheek very tenderly.
Damn, can't say no to you.
I know. Sometimes it's good to go into a. Into a battle or a reconnaissance mission with a clear head. Is there any thing I can do to help clear your head?
God, how long is the drive from my place to here?
20 minutes.
You got 20 minutes. Go.
But of course, my friend. And I take him by the hand and I lead him to my office where I have a private space that can unfold from the wall.
Okay, you take Fluffy into the back and we see the curtains close and the steamy music play and little hearts come out from underneath the curtains. Y'all getting it on?
I hope so.
That was my intention.
So what happens now? Because I believe most people have something that happens.
Okay, if you and another character have sex, you take +1 forward. At your option, they take +1 forward too. That's my special.
So by having sex with Fluffy, should Fluffy choose, both of you will get +1 on your next roll. Or it could just, Fluffy, if you're not satisfied, I guess it can just be for you.
I'm very satisfied.
Juice, what are you doing in the back while they're getting it on?
Probably like making calls to people, like calling in favors and like calling in debts to try to get up as much money as possible. And maybe like see if I could get some kind of like help.
Why don't you give me +cool? Because this is a very tense situation, as you assume that people are on their way to you. Let's see if you can kind of maintain your composure enough to propose a very safe sounding business deal to try and raise these funds. So give me a little taste of one of the conversations and then give me that roll.
Donnie, baby, how you doing? How's your mom? Is she good?
Yeah, she's good.
That's good to hear. So she's doing well in the hospital. Everything's stable?
Yeah, well, you know, she's coming home with us tonight, but it's still not certain.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, my condolences.
It's radiation poisoning for you, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's the world. What are we going to do about it, you know? Is your husband around, by any chance?
My husband?
Yes, Georgie. Is
yeah! Georgie.
Jeff, Georgie?
Georgie!
I don't know which one. There's been so many.
Yeah, both of them are here.
Jeff and Georgie are there.
Yeah.
Great. See, the thing is, I'm kind of in a situation right now, and I was wondering if they could come help us out, you know? Somehow, oddly enough, Courtney, you know Court. She kind of spilled the beans on a little bit of our operations. Mad Dog's a little perturbed.
Yeah.
To say the least. So I was just wondering if Jeff and Georgie...
Are we going to be okay?
You guys should be fine. I was just wondering
okay,
if, like...
Okay, well, you know, Jeff's a scorpion grooming service. We can't afford for that to go under.
Yeah, I mean, scorpions are very precious creatures, and we absolutely need them. I was wondering if they wanted to come by. You know what? If you had some of that scorpion poison laying around, maybe we could use some of that as well. If they want to just come on down and like help us out a little bit, I think.
Do you want to talk to Jeff and Georgie?
Please, if you wouldn't mind.
Hold up, wait, Georgie, you've made enough tires for the. Come here, Jeff. Tires. Georgie, come here.
Hello?
Georgie?
Hello? Si, soy Jorgito.
It's me, Juice, Juicy, baby.
Juito. ¿Cómo estás?
Juito, I'm good.
Hey, I'm here too, it's me.
Oh,
Jeff.
What's up, Jeff? How you doing,
Hi.
Man? How's the business? The scorpions doing you good?
Yeah, man. Hey, people are really loving the whole pet scorpion thing. That was a good idea, man.
I mean, you're welcome, you know? There's a reason why they call me the Juice, you know? But anyway, guys, I was wondering, so I'm in a little bit of a pickle, and I was wondering if you guys could come down and help me out. There's a couple of brutes on their way to, you know, talk to me about a couple of my business ventures that weren't exactly on the books, per se. So I was wondering if you guys could maybe come help us out, or maybe if you had a little extra scorpion poison that you're not necessarily needing. Like, anything can help, really.
I could maybe make it out tomorrow.
See, the thing about that is, we might not see tomorrow, if you catch my drift.
How much do you need?
How much can you spare?
Not much, but... You know, how deep in the hole are you looking?
Roll plus cool.
9.
Listen, Juguito. I can gift you 100 caps. Yeah, that's about what I can do. I know we're technically still in debt to you, but also, like, I can't let the business go under, man, so...
Yeah, you know, I get it. I understand. Business comes first, you know?
100 caps, hey, I can get them to you tomorrow, but consider me good for it, you know, but write it down on the books, and we'll, you know, 200 between the two of us.
Tomorrow, huh?
Yeah.
So, okay. I hope you guys are doing well. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Alrighty. Talk to you later.
And as you are hanging up, you hear the sound of a truck approaching. You now have two additional barter. So, Hive, what's the strat?
I think before we get out, I'm going to speak with Mum once again to tell me what's in the building. So that is an 8.
So you open your mind to the psychic maelstrom again. You work your way through the fuzz and you find your mother. And Mum says...
Welcome back, son.
Mum, what can you tell me about the establishment that I'm in front of currently?
I'm having a hard time seeing through the static, but it just looks like a bunch of people with dicks in their hands. Not really. I sense a little danger, actually. I'm not quite sure from where, but I do feel some danger.
Pleasure as always, Mum. Take care.
Goodbye, son.
Nope. All right, bit. I'm going to leave you to watch the truck. And I think Rock and Noel, I think you two are coming with me. We're just going to make a collection, hopefully. But just in case, I might have to get work my way inside. Easy, love, easy.
And you see, like, the veins bulging.
And we're gonna make our way to the front door, and I'll let him knock at the door.
All right, and Noel walks up to the door. Right as we see Fluffy and Vicençon emerging from the office, sweat on their brows, clothing a little undone, you hear...
And that's my cue to get the hell out of here. I'm going to start sneaking out the back.
Oh, won't be the first time you've snuck around the back. Vicon, like, kind of just, like, finishes, like, wiping a finger over his lips just to get any leftovers out of the way. And then Vicon will go to answer the door. Oh, bonsoir, bon oui, how are we today?
Swan, I missed you, love. How you been, mate?
Oh, hi, it is a pleasure to see you. Are you here for business or pleasure? Or perhaps a little of both, my old friend.
Well, you know what day it is, right?
Oh, well, but of course it is Tuesday collection day. I have your payment sitting on my desk. It's all ready to go, my friend.
Beautiful. Just bring it on down and we'll be out of your hair.
So, we see Vicençon go up to get the payment while Fluffy, you are sneaking around back. So what's going on there?
All right. I could see the truck. I could see the little henchman standing out in front of it, I believe. So I'm going to be working my way around behind him. If I'm able to, I will stick up my shotgun to the back of his head. Hopefully without alerting him until I speak to him.
Let's make this two things. I think first is going to be, I want to see you roll plus cool to see how nice and calm you can stay as you try to sneak around.
Huh, 13.
And you are silent.
Hell yeah.
Were you silent or were you silenced?
Silent.
What is your aim as you put the gun up to the back of their head?
I want to say, stay the hell quiet.
Let's do this as going aggro on someone.
Oh boy. 10.
So you actually open the driver's seat and prod your shotgun in first and then get in and close the door. And you see Bit just caves and raises his hands up. So, Vicon.
Oui, monsieur.
You have gathered your funds, and you arrive with about one barter's worth of caps to give to Hive.
Here you are, sir. Your 100 caps, as usual.
Beautiful.
And I'm going to take that and offer to shake my hand with Swan.
I accept, and I reach out my hand, and I grasp it firm, but like in like a delicate way. As I shake his hand, my index finger kind of strokes his wrist.
And I'm going to get an 11 on gathering some information.
Oh, this is your ability. Which one are you doing? This is...
I'm just going to do the in-brain puppet strings.
You have a violation glove. So,
I feel violated.
This is a move that you would normally require lots of physical intimacy from. However, because of your violation glove, you can do it just on touch. So, you plant a command inside their mind. On a 10 plus, which you got, you hold 3. So, at your will, no matter the circumstances, you can spend your hold, again, you have 3, to inflict 1 harm, or they take -1 to a roll right now. And if they fulfill the command you are implanting, that uses all of your remaining hold. So, what command are you implanting?
Okay, it's gonna be
kill Fluffy.
What the hell?
So you know Fluffy's here?
He frequents this place often, and I do watch Fluffy secretly, so I know that these two have a connection.
Vicon, you have just been commanded to kill Fluffy. Meanwhile, Fluffy, you are in the cabin holding Bit hostage. What are you doing?
I'm gonna drive the hell home.
Okay. You drive home with your hostage. I've Noel, Rourke, Vicon. You just see the truck leave.
I believe your ride is leaving without you. What is going on, my friend?
And as you say that, you see Juice come out of the office.
Hi, V, baby. Good to see you. What was that noise? Was that your ride? Maybe you should go catch that.
Gummy, give me a hug.
You know, I'm a personal space kind of guy, but I do.
Boss! I do. Boss! Hey, boss! Boss!
Yeah, what's.
What? Where'd Bit go?
What?
Maybe you should go check that out. I mean,
yes, but we have business, right?
Here's your money. You know what? This has been good a little lately. Here's a little extra on top of it.
Oh, not so fast, Juice. See, we've been looking at your books, and it looks like you're making more than you've been sharing.
I don't know what books you've been looking at. My books are flawless. I mean, yes, there are a couple of businesses here or there that probably make a couple more profit, but you know, I give you everything that I owe you guys, everything that I've earned. I mean, most of it is just like floating around. A lot of it is favors, you know, calling in help from other people and all this. It's not money per se, more just like effort, you know, a little bit of time, but they do say time is money, so I guess you're kind of right on that aspect, but it's not like barter or anything.
Jeez, I like you, and I don't want to make things difficult, so let's say you're gonna be here tomorrow.
Yeah, you know where I am. I'll be here tomorrow.
Great. And if I can't find you the next time I see you, you're dead. But if I do find you here, I'm expecting the correct amount, right?
Sure. Yeah, you got it, huh?
Beautiful. Now we've got work to do.
When I pat Swan on the back,
let's go.
But of course, go where exactly?
You have a vehicle.
Unfortunately, my friend, I live where I work. Work and play are very much integrated here in my humble abode. So unfortunately, I do not have a vehicle of any sort to get around. But I know Fluffy came here on his motorcycle, so perhaps the keys are still there.
Be gone. Right.
If you needed a ride, I'm sure he wouldn't mind. He's a very good friend of mine.
The keys are in my pocket.
All right, so if I look in like the parking lot, are there other vehicles there too? And maybe Fluffy's bike?
Yeah, you see Fluffy's bike and let's say two other like very rundown cars.
Great. Let's start working these up. We can hotwire them or you can ask your clients for a little bit of a lending hand.
We're a little slow this afternoon, so allow me to just check around and see if there are any clients that would be willing to help someone that is so well liked in the Mad Dog's establishment. Un momento. Vicon will circle the room and check with the clientele that's around to see if anybody's willing to lend their vehicle.
The only client in here right now, because you have your employees, Antonio's here, a couple of the dancers are here. The only client you see is your absolute least favorite client, who is here all the time, and his name is Kamu, and he is enjoying a dance.
Calypso, if I could just borrow Kamu for a moment. Mon cher, my sincerest apologies for interrupting your dance. I will make sure you get a little something on the house. Did you happen to drive here this evening?
I did.
We have a minor situation where someone needs a ride somewhere. I was wondering if I might be able to procure the keys to your vehicle.
That's a big ask, man. Why don't you roll plus cool for me?
Oof. It's a 3-5 because of the forward, I guess.
Yeah, no can do, Mr. Man. I got some errands to run later.
I'm gonna go over Kamu and I'm gonna be like, you know how it is. I know you got some errands to run later, and they'll be back in no time. I mean, why don't you just lend them your car for now? Enjoy your dance, you know. Maybe we'll get you a little something extra. I can probably talk to Calypso over here, you know.
Are you attempting to help?
Yes.
Roll plus your relationship with Vicon.
That is a 10.
Okay, on a 10, they get plus 2. So that brings you up to a 7, which is just barely a hit. So, Kamu is going to look at you and go,
I mean, I could lend you the vehicle if you offered me something in return.
Let's just say I could perhaps make it worth your while. I brush my hand from his shoulder down his torso and then kind of wide sweep the crotch area to like more trace my hand over the hip and then come back down through the inner thigh. And I am trying to seduce.
Give me a roll.
9.
Tell you what, I can afford it, but I'll take the freebie. I'm also gonna need a favor from you.
All right, name it.
Let's just say it's TBD.
Very well. And I take the keys and I bring them back to Hive.
Good work, mate.
Well, I didn't seem to have much of a choice in the situation, I suppose. But yes, I'm glad to help where I can.
I'm going to press to see what these keys go to.
Exactly. You hear that. And it is a rusty vehicle. It actually doesn't have any doors, but it kind of looks like, imagine a hobbled together apocalyptic version of like a 98 Honda Civic.
Okay, so seats 4?
Yeah.
Let's see. So you free take that car. And I believe that this is Fluffy's motorcycle, is it not? And Fluffy doesn't seem to be here. So, with basic math, I think he's home.
And I'm gonna hotwire this if I can.
Roll plus sharp?
That is an 8.
Okay, it starts up. If you turn it off, you're gonna have to try to hotwire it again.
Alright. Follow me, gents.
So we see Noel and Rourke both pick up Swan as they throw you into the back of the car, and then they both sit in the front.
As I was being carried away, I shout kind of over my shoulder as I'm being dragged off.
Licky, make sure to please watch after the place while I am gone. Make sure Glenn has everything he needs to bounce for the evening. You know how,
see,
how
Papi,
the customers...
See, Papi, stay safe. I love you.
Licky is the stage manager of the club performances and fills in for me when I'm not there in terms of management.
He puts his hands to his cheek and looks at you being carried away and goes, ah, and he blows you a kiss.
I assume they're kind of like, are they lifting me from the armpits or?
I'm almost imagining they picked you up horizontal.
Okay, great. And because like picked me up horizontal, like my arms are kind of at my sides, I can only bend from the elbows. So, like I like reach where the kiss was kind of going and I kind of like grab it midair. And then I pantomime putting it in one of my frock coat pockets.
Incredible. And they shove you into the back as Hive hotwires the chopper. And we see the caravan head toward Fluffy's house. Fluffy, you arrive before them with Bit at gunpoint. What are you doing?
Get out, grab the bags, put it all back.
Yeah, all right, man, whatever.
He's like almost eerily calm as he begins moving the bags back.
All right. And once he's done with that, like he's going to be between the hatch and me. I'm going to say, how do I get you punks to leave me the hell alone?
You pay your fair share, bucko.
And he draws his revolver.
I shoot.
Okay, and you both exchange harm.
Oh, oh
so
shit, bit.
Let's see. How much damage do you deal?
3 harm, close, messy.
Ooh.
And I'm very close.
Okay. He draws his revolver as you pump your shotgun, and both in unison. You fire a blast. He is wearing this kind of Kevlar vest beneath his clothing that helps absorb some of the buckshot, but a lot of it sprays into like the shoulder region of his upper arm, leaving like a pretty mangled, bloody mess as he falls to the ground. However, he manages to fire a shot for 3 harm into your thigh. Do you have any armor?
I do. I have 2 armor.
So you take 1 harm only. Roll plus harm.
7.
So, you fire this buckshot, and while the vest absorbs a lot of it around the vital organs, it sprays into his arm, and you think you maybe hear, like, the impacting of bone as he falls to the ground. Ah! But that one bullet enters your thigh, and you drop your shotgun.
Uh-oh.
As the pain of the bullet makes you take a knee, and the shotgun falls to the ground. And as Bit falls to the ground as well, he manages to keep his grip on his revolver. He begins bleeding out. It's very quickly pooling underneath him. And he points the revolver at your head. And he says, leave it there.
I'm going to whip up my Magnum from my other pocket and shoot him.
Oof. Okay, he is going to shoot you first. You go to draw the Magnum. He sees that movement, shoots you in the shoulder. Bah! You lose control of that arm as it splays out. You don't grab the Magnum. And now you are beginning to bleed out as well.
Back away.
I'm gonna jump on top of him and roll into the pit.
Ooh, okay. roll hard?
That's a 10.
So that's a full success. You grab him from a distance. This might look inappropriate as you leap atop him and then roll into the pit with your bags of bottle caps. You feel some of those perforated edges dig into one of your shoulders as you lie there.
Ah!
And he is in really bad shape as some of his blood begins to pour onto you.
I'm going to use blood crazed.
Okay, what does that do?
Whenever I inflict harm, I inflict an additional plus one harm. I'm going to punch him in the wound that I made from the shotgun. Just stick my fist right in there.
Oh, okay. You punch into his arm, I guess, and then you grab it and pop it out of its socket. And he just passes out immediately.
Sweet.
You get the feeling that if he is not tended to very quickly, he is likely going to bleed out in the next few minutes.
Good. I'm going to walk out of the pit and lock the door behind me.
Okay.
Oh, before I do, I'm going to booby trap the entrance to it as well.
And so you begin to set up a booby trap. Roll plus sharp for me.
10.
10. Okay. You begin setting up the booby trap. Even though you're bleeding, you're limping across. And you manage to set up one tripwire. But before you can close the door, you hear a caravan arriving. And who leads it but your very own chopper with Hive atop it?
I'll finish the job of locking the door behind me, though.
So you shut the garage door and turn to face Hive as he gets off your motorcycle.
I'm going to motion for everyone in the car to start charging in the garage, and I'm going to get behind the truck.
Fluffy, as you are closing the garage, you turn to see Hive getting off the motorcycle, and as you turn to face him, you are immediately rushed by these two massive goons who load up shotguns and aim it directly at you. Vicomte, you are in the backseat of the car watching.
And at this point, I am going to roll Just Give Me a Motive, which is one of my special maestro moves. I name somebody who might conceivably eat, drink, or otherwise ingest something I've touched. If it's an NPC, I roll plus hard. If it's a PC, I roll plus history. On a 10 plus, they do, and they suffer 4 harm, which is armor piercing. On a 7 to 9, it's 2 harm armor piercing. And on a miss, several people of the MC's choice, maybe including your guy, maybe not, get it, and all suffer 3 harm armor piercing.
Okay.
So let's see how this... And the person I'm naming... is Fluffy.
Vicom.
Vicom. Plus the history brings it to a 12.
And Fluffy, as these buff people charge you, aim their shotguns at you, you feel a rumbling in your tummy, and you remember the glass of water you had back at the fop bucket. And your stomach begins to stir as you go, huh?
Oh boy.
And all of a sudden, you begin vomiting blood on the ground. And as you do, you pass out, seemingly dead, unless someone cares for you.
Great.
Life is now untenable. And Hive, you see Noel and Rourke look at you like they're holding their shotguns, and they go, fuck?
I have carried out the command that was given to me.
Oh.
Please, I wish no more part in this.
Right, off you go then. Bye-bye. You can go home now. You can walk home too.
Thank you. I start the hour's walk back to my establishment.
So, we go in the garage.
Alright then, open up.
And just wave at them to do it.
Okay, and we see both Noel and Rourke go up to the garage door and begin lifting it in that deadlift motion like they did earlier. However, as the door lifts, it trips the wire that Fluffy had set earlier, and they take 4 messy damage. So, Noel gets blasted, like, hole through the center. Rourke gets a huge blast out of, like, the upper left chunk of her body. She falls back in agonizing pain, screaming, most likely gonna die in a few minutes, but still not dead, going, oh no.
Is the hatch open?
No, but you can go open it.
Can I ask Mom to see if it's booby trapped?
Go for it.
Okay, that's a
13.
You reach out into the maelstrom again, and Mom goes, Mom knows why you're calling at this point. You never call just to say hi. You're always asking for something. And she says, the harm is done.
The harm is done.
Yes, you're fine.
Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome.
Cheers.
Maybe call and say hi sometime, you know?
And I'll open it.
As he's going for the hatch, I heard the explosion of the tripped garage. I come running back. I see him going into the garage post-explosion, the two bodies. I immediately run over, I grab Fluffy, and I drag him over to the vehicle, also grabbing the keys from one of the goons, because they definitely had the keys. I put his body in the back, secure him as best as I can,
I stop
and I get in the car, and I drive off.
This is so much, this is so much. Hold on, you're doing too many things. You're dragging bodies, you're starting cars. Let me do something,
It doesn't have doors, so you wouldn't really hear him putting it in there unless Plaza's going, ah!
But dragging a body is like,
undercover the explosion, it's brilliant.
Vicom, this is a dangerous situation.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say you can attempt to grab Fluffy and the keys, but you're gonna have to roll doing it under fire.
Okay.
So you have to roll plus cool.
You got this.
A 5 plus 2, 7.
Okay, so you flinch, hesitate, or stall. So here's what happens. You begin to run for Fluffy, and then fear grabs a hold of you, and Hive turns to look at you, a hand above his weapon. How do you respond?
Oh, mon cher, I heard the explosion and I came over and I needed to look at what was going on with these poor people. You're just going to leave your friends to die? We need to give them medical attention.
You're right. Come help me.
But your friends are right here in front of me. I'm the one that's about to help. Don't you worry.
Come help me. Put him in a truck.
Okay, yes. But of course I will help you move them to the truck. So I start like moving the other two first into the truck.
And while he's moving him, I'm going to put a hand on his shoulder.
Okay.
And brain puppet string.
Roll for that.
So that is a 7.
On a 7, you hold 1. So you can implant that command, and at will, you can inflict 1 harm, or they take -1 right now. What command are you implanting?
Go home.
I am going to choose to resist that command.
He'll take 1 harm.
Vicomte, you hear the command, go home. And as you resist, it's almost like your soul is fighting you, and you feel a sharp twist inside of you in a way that you can't even describe as you take 1 armor-piercing damage.
Ugh. Okay. I, like, quickly, like, kind of move away because he touched me, and then I felt that way. So I know something's up, and I'm like, what the fuck did you just do to me?
So I pull out a hidden knife.
Go home, mate. You're done here.
Mon cher, a little blade like that is not exactly something new to my line of work. I've seen something like that. It's very cute, in fact. But I have to say, how about you deal with your people and I'll deal with mine and we go our separate ways. Ja, mon cher?
And I just, without question, start trying to pick up the body of Fluffy and drag him over to the car.
And I'm gonna throw a knife at him while he's doing that.
Jesus Christ. Leave me alone.
I am leaving you alone. I am walking away from the situation with the body.
That's my car.
How much harm do you deal?
2.
And I have 1 armor, so it's just 1.
And we see a knife bury itself in Vicomte's arm.
I take the knife out and I pocket it. And I keep dragging the body away, keeping my eye on him so that way I'm prepared.
My love.
You keep dragging Fluffy. However, at this moment, Hive, backup arrives. You see 2 more of your trucks arrive at the scene.
Damn it. Almost got away.
And who steps out of it but Grunt? And Grunt goes,
what the hell is going on here?
Well, it's about bloody time, mate.
2 casualties for a fucking bike shop?
3 casualties.
I told you, 75%. We need him to continue producing. You think killing him is the way to do it?
You want the money, it's in there. Go ahead.
Now shut up, and he shoots you in the leg.
Oh, boy.
Oh, John's mad at me.
He got him.
And you take 3 damage. Do you have armor?
I have armor. 1 armor.
He fires a shot into your leg. Some of the armor absorbs it, but you take a knee as you are dealt 2 damage. And out of the second truck, you see Mad Dog himself come out, completely silent and in a rage, dragging Juice by the hair.
Hey guys, good to see you.
Mon Dieu.
Not too much trouble, but help me.
If you want something done right, you gotta do it yourself. Grunt, line them up.
This has been Dungeons & Trippus, Wasteland. This episode featured the vocal talents of Michael Pisani as Vicomte Swan, Nicholas Benetatus as Hive, TJ Berry as The Juice, and Nicholas Palazzo as Fluffy. Giancarlo Herrera was your GM, with editing by Michael Pisani and Giancarlo Herrera, and sound design by Nicholas Benetatos. If you want to support the show, consider checking out patreon.com/drimbus, where you get access to exclusive benefits like fun merch, early access to Season 3 of Dungeons & Drimbus, our Discord, and much more exclusive content. See you all next week.